Hello and welcome to the Thursday, October 4th, 2012 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Let's start with our Cybersecurity Awareness Month diary. Today's diary comes from Kevin Short and it is about Sudo. Now, Sudo is certainly not a new tool. It's around for a while, but it does fit in with some of the newer standards like ISO standards about identity management. One of the important parts, of course, that you do want to control is who did what, and identity management is part of that. So for example, that you don't share admin accounts, and Sudo definitely allows you to set that up, have different users perform admin functions as themselves, so you maintain traceability. One shortcoming of Sudo, however, is its scalability. However, in more modern versions of Sudo, additional features like Kevin mentions, for example, include theirs and such, have been added to Sudo to add a little bit more sort of scalability and manageability to this pretty simple command. And of course, there are commercial solutions that allow you to tie Sudo into whatever identity management system you may actually have. And then we have a story that really sort of addresses more what people usually talk about when they're talking about cybersecurity awareness. In this case, it's fake tech support calls. We have seen them going on for a while now, and you may remember that recently we started a little project that you can report them to us, and we certainly have gotten a number of submissions reporting about fake tech support calls that people receive. The scheme is pretty straightforward. They're giving you a call claiming to be from Google, from Microsoft, or another sort of well-known company. They're claiming that they have evidence that your system is infected. Then they ask for remote control of the system, or in some case, they just give you a URL to go to. And then one of two things happens, sometimes both. First of all, you may, of course, now get infected with real malware, or you may be charged for removing malware that you didn't have. But there's also a good side to this story. Today there was a news release by the FTC that announced that it, together with regulators from a number of other countries like Canada, Australia, New Zealand, UK, and so on, did actually manage to shut down a group of individuals who performed these scams. 17 individuals were arrested in this particular sting, and about $188,000 in assets were frozen. Now, over time, the amount of money may actually increase as assets in other countries are being frozen. Actually, there may also still be a couple of arrests pending, according to this press release. So there's something being done against it. Of course, these are 17 individuals. Hard to tell how many are actually behind these scams. And in our next story, we go back to standards and how they affect security. The IETF, the Internet Engineering Task Force, approved the HTTP strict transport security proposal as an internet draft, which is so the first step to make it a real standard. This has been implemented in a couple of browsers already, and it's actually pretty simple. What it means is that if I go to an HTTPS website, that website will provide a special header telling me that this website is only available via HTTPS. So if I'm now being redirected, for example, to the HTTP version of the website, or if I'm just lazy and I don't enter HTTPS but just the domain name, my browser knows that this website is HTTPS only and it will refuse to go to the HTTP version. This does fight a couple of the man-in-the-middle scenarios where someone would just redirect you to an HTTP version of the website. It's very easy to implement on the server. All you have to do is just add this particular header. And actually, it just happens that today we have yet another standard story in the end. NIST announced the final winner of the SHA-3 competition. So this will be the new hashing standard that should be used in the future. At this point, SHA-2 is still okay. SHA-3 is actually a totally different algorithm. And that was important in case there was some kind of weakness that would be discovered in the SHA-2 algorithm, that the follow-on algorithm SHA-3 is not affected by it. I have no real idea how to pronounce it. I would say KECCAK, it's K-E-C-C-A-K. K is how it's spelled, so I'll just pronounce it KECCAK for now until I hear an official pronunciation of what this hashing algorithm is called. It's supposed to be really fast. It's supposed to work on a number of different computing platforms well, so that's why NIST chose this algorithm over others. It has a good security, and at the same time also it's computationally very efficient. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.